on this episode of Podigious.
It's fitting, though, that even the credits couldn't be accurate. This is a Digimon film written by one of the best screenwriters in anime.
Great, it really lived up to that.
Yeah, I thought we should market this episode. Of all the CGI films you've seen, was this one?
This was one.
Yes.
This was one, yeah.
This was a movie that I saw.
I'm glad we all agree.
I need a password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 021, Pixar's Finding Doraemon.
Digital Monster X Evolution.
Recorded August 19th, 2017.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the uncanny valley of obscure mid-2000s CGI films. I'm Asher Softman, and I'm joined by our royal knight, who's always so late he's said to never actually exist, Jeff Ruberg.
Kono ega ga shinda!
Oh my god.
Our royal knight who tried to escape this podcast, but was forced to come back with an ex-antibody, Ashley McDonald.
Is that what Daruman is? I'm totally here for Daruman.
Did you watch this movie, Ashley?
And our royal knight who is most dramatic when silently letting people walk past him, Andrew Softman.
Floosh.
Ashley, it was Dukeman. Dukeman dies and comes back as with an ex-antibody.
I don't want to be Dukeman. I want to be...
Dukeman is the evolution of your favorite character, Ashley.
But Daruman's the best character in this movie, and he's Alphamon.
Well, sorry. I'm the one who dramatically screams, this thing is dead. This week, we're just doing one giant unanswered question segment, and the name of that unanswered question segment is Digital Monster X Evolution.
True facts.
Okay, so... opening statements. What are everyone's reactions and impressions of this movie?
It is not as painful as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I remember it being.
It just looks horrible.
I'm curious. What did you remember of it?
I didn't remember any of it. Come on, it's me. I did remember Doraemon. I remembered the animation. And I think that's pretty much all I remembered. Didn't remember any of the plot, except, like, vaguely, there's an ex-antibody, and it separates Digimon into Digimon with it and without it, and I remembered that he digivolved at least once, but that was it.
Asher's review of the movie, A Digimon Digivolved.
Digimon Digivolved, A+.
thank you.
Amazing.
But so you didn't have like an entirely negative recollection then?
Oh, I remember not liking it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, my recollection of it, and I think, yeah, my recollection of it was actually liking it. I've only seen it before this rewatch. I had only seen it once, and it was, I guess it was not too long after it came out.
So around like 2015 or, I mean, 2005 or 6?
Yeah, well, I guess it was 2007, actually, right before I started watching Savers fan-subbed. Because those are both, I think, like, I remember talking to Ashley in, like, English class about, oh, did you hear there's the Digimon movie and it's all CGI and there are no humans and, what? Okay. And
what was my response? Because I'm pretty sure I think
you were telling
several
me about
times.
It, other way around.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
And yeah, it,
Okay.
My impression of it is that it is like purposefully obtuse and kind of like trying to appeal for an older faux mature audience.
It's purposely obtuse because it has one note and it's like, what, how can I make this a 90-minute movie?
I think there's more than one note, but there's so much about the, like, it's a complex, it's actually not that complex of a plot, but explained so confusingly that it, like, I think if you just, like, do a simple pass-through of, like, watching it without really paying too much attention, it won't make any sense. And even, like,
yes.
I had to think long hard to, like, make sense of things, and then I was like, okay, I think I understand what it's going for. And then I read, like, summaries and recaps and wikis, and okay, now I think I have, like, a fully solid understanding of it. But to go back into, like, my recollection, I think that was kind of what appealed to me about it the first time when I was a high school student, was that, like, it being obtuse and awkwardly written in a way that made things confusing was what appealed to me. That it was like, oh yeah, it's so, like, deep and complex, and, like, and I think it also had a, like, trust in things. Like when I didn't understand things, I assumed it was because the thing was so smart and I needed to think about it harder, which now I've come to be like, sometimes that's true, but most of the time it's just poorly written.
Actually, yeah. I will defend Jeff's. I think that is exactly, basically the same thing I had where it was like, I watched it and I was like, this was weird. It wasn't like other Digimon, but then I kept watching. Like, I watched it several times being like, okay, yeah, like, no, this is just like cool, like grittier Digimon. And I like appreciate that they're like doing weird things with CGI. And now I'm like, no. Oh, like, get out of here.
It was dated CGI when it came out.
Yeah. If people have not rewatched this movie recently while they're listening to this, the CGI is
bad. I think bad is the word you're looking for.
I was going to say it's there. It is animated.
It's bad, but it's not food fight bad.
I have a whole section in our notes to talk about animation.
Ooh, fun.
My recollection of it, the first time I watched it, however many years ago, 50 years ago, was that the animation, like, it was hard at first to get used to, and then it grew on me by the end. I was like, oh, it's actually really cool. And no.
Right. See? Like.
Yeah. There are some structural things in, like, the course of the movie. Like, there are certain kinds of Digimon that work well in it and certain that don't. And I think it does kind of make sense that by the end, what you remember, what I remembered were ones that looked cool. So any other quick impressions or reactions?
There's so many unnecessary characters. Like, God.
It had Sylphimon, so you know what? 10 out of 10.
Wizardmon doesn't die. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Is it even a Digimon movie at that point?
Yeah.
Ex-antibody War Greymon looks cooler than regular War Greymon. 10 out of 10.
Debatable.
Nope. Ex-antibody Metal Garurumon looks atrocious. 0 out of 10.
I did not recognize him at first.
Yeah. At first I was like, oh, it's cool that now he's bipedal instead of quadrupedal. No.
Well, that's like ancient Garurumon. Ancient Garurumon's actually bipedal.
Oh, right, because I took a picture of him and captioned it with, he's actually just a furry with a kitchen knife.
Absolutely appalling.
it didn't in practice work too well. And yeah, I just think like War Greymon X's design fit the animation style and everything really well, and Metal Greymon X's design not so much.
My only problem with War Greymon X is that he looks like he's wearing overalls.
Is that a problem?
No,
it looks weird.
Do you have a problem with overalls? Koshiro, no, Izzy has overalls. Do you have a problem with Koshiro? Are you
No, but
forsaking...
it looks like metal overalls.
According to Jeff this is kind of a spoiler for Ashley, who has no knowledge of stuff at the end of Data Squad, but Jeff Nimoy has mentioned that in doing the dub of Data Squad, he kind of threw in the random joke towards the end that, like, in his headcanon, he likes the idea that Izzy is actually Yggdrasil, and I think that's a thing. I forget exactly the context for that.
I really don't see how voice. War Greymon X is wearing metal overalls, but okay. It doesn't compute for me.
It looks better. It looks like it in different shots.
So, okay, before we finish this quick impression segment, because we have gone long, this movie, I think, is just a big... It's a big open mystery. It's a big, like, so many things are like, whoop. But like, one of the biggest ones I uncovered in looking into things, does anyone know, I mean, I'm going to tell you if you don't know, but does anyone already know who the writer of the movie was?
No.
So I don't know the name, or I didn't recognize the name, but Kazunori Ito was the writer of the Ghost in the Shell movie screenplay, and has been like quoted, has been cited in, there's this, Helen McCarthy is like an anime scholar, I think based in the UK, and she referred to this writer as one of the best screenwriters in anime.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, I mean, Ghost in the Shell...
So we're talking about, like, original Ghost in the Shell, right?
Right, the original Ghost in the Shell movie, which is based on a manga, but I think from what I've heard is I have not seen it, so, like, I'm not the best judge about this, but what I've heard people say is the manga is, like, okay, but not great, whereas the original movie is amazing, and I think people apparently credit that to this writer, so...
No, huh? But I can see that, because I can see that she...
I don't know.
They, him, it's a him. He wrote Magical Angel Creamy Mommy, which sounds awful when I say it out loud. he did
It's mommy.
Only when you say it out loud.
It's mom. It's mommy. Not. It's like M A M I. Not mommy. Not like mama. Like
mama just killed a man.
Anyway,
I mean, dirty pair. Mason Ikkoku.
There's a long history of things. Apparently, like in the past 2 decades, he's mostly just worked on hack franchise stuff.
Dot hack.
But yeah, there's a long list of things.
Actually see that now. So basically, everything he worked on in the 2000s was basically stuff happening in a digital world.
Yeah. It still does not quite explain why the writing was so terrible, though.
Because the movie was plagued by production values.
I don't know if that quite explains the writing. I mean, but also I should mention that according to everything, it's cited as having two different writers. And the other writer, Miwa Kawasaki, I can't find any information about. So it's very possible that, like, the involvement of that prestigious director is fairly limited. And, you know, maybe they just, like, helped a little bit and added some obscurity and things not making sense. And then the actual cohesion that was necessary was not there. Any other quick impressions before you do Digifeud?
Daruman is still the cutest. He has little devil wings.
Okay.
And stubby arms. He's adorable.
And now for a Digifeud segment. We are going by the standard Family Feud rules this time. So not Fast Money, not a rapid series of questions. Just one question this time. And start off with a face-off. So Asher and Ashley will be the contestants, and they will buzz in by making their best impression of a buzzer noise. And are you both ready?
Sure.
So this question, I should warn you. On the one hand, it's an easy question. On the other hand, it's a hard question. That doesn't help at all, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Okay.
Oh, man.
Who is your favorite X-antibody Digimon from the X-Evolution movie? Is that a buzz?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Okay, Ashley.
Daruman?
Okay, now Asher.
Wargreymon.
That is the number one answer with
41
points.
How is Doraemon not there?
Yeah, what?
It has to be the number one answer.
No, but Asher, if Doraemon was there, Jeff would have had to say yes and then put it in place.
Right. Yeah. So it's not there at all.
Really?
So yeah. Yes. So don't say Daruman, because that would be a bad move.
I have to say, this movie is not that popular, so we did not get that many responses. So this isn't like the most valid polling sample, but it is what the listeners have said. So
that's bizarre. Daruman's cute. Like,
people might not think of him as an X-antibody, maybe.
What?
But yeah,
he's the X-antibody Digimon.
Yeah.
Okay, so Asher, do you want to keep playing? You need to guess three more. And if you don't guess all three of them, then Ashley gets a chance to steal it to get all the points. I should say most of these are going to be easy, but there's one hard one. I'm not sure that affects your decision.
No, I'll keep it.
You'll play? Okay.
Yeah.
So you get three strikes, zero strikes.
Okay. All right. X-antibody Digimon.
There's only so many.
I know, that's why I kept it.
At least
how many? I have to guess.
There are three
I have
more
to
on
guess.
The board.
There's
there
three
even
more on the board.
Like enough for Asher to not get it, like to get strikes.
Oh, maybe not. No, there should be.
There should be.
I think. I don't know.
Metal Garurumon?
Metal Garurumon?
Yeah.
That's a number two.
Right. Seriously?
These people have no taste.
So garbage. Oh my God.
Actually, number two and number three are tied. That just means I guess they're both number two. I just didn't.
Tokomon?
Are you serious?
Tokomon over Daruman? Y'all. Okay. Y'all, I can't even with you.
Zero strikes and one more answer on the board.
Dukemon?
One strike. Right. One answer on the board left.
Did he even have an antibody? I was very confused about this.
He just suddenly did.
Yeah, he did?
I could not tell.
Doesn't everybody at the end have an antibody?
I honestly have no idea.
Basically, if they become a different version of the same.
They all themselves. Looked the same to me.
Okay. I think Dukemon definitely had an X antibody. We'll get into it later, but I'm pretty sure that's like the one thing that actually makes one of the things that makes the most sense in the movie compared to other things that make even less sense.
So did most of the Digimon that existed in the movie not have it?
Yes.
Okay.
They were the ones that were led to the new world. The ones that have the X antibody are the ones who were left in the old world, but somehow made it to the new world.
Okay, I didn't want to explain it in this segment, but so the whole Project Arc thing was that Yggdrasil, you know, like as I explained at the very end of the movie, there are too many Digimon, so in order for Yggdrasil to continue living, it wiped out Digimon, but chose, like Noah's Ark that it's named after, chose a segment of a bunch of Digimon to be like, these are the chosen Digimon who will go to the new world with me, whatever. And
then he killed them anyway.
Well, chose those Digimon and then with the X program, a program like just the X program, wiped out everyone. The X program being very different, the X antibody. The X antibody was what the Digimon who were supposed to be wiped out developed a resistance. They developed the X antibody as a resistance to the X program.
Well, yeah, that's how
that's how antibodies and diseases work. But it's confusing when, like, in the context of Digimon, having an X program and an X antibody, and it's hard to... Anyway, because they sound very similar. So the Digimon that are left at the beginning of the movie, like, it's kind of set up by the two sides meeting, the Angemon faction and the... who else on the other side? They're like, Wargreymon X...
It was Garurumon on the other side.
So those are the X antibodies, and those are the ones. Right. Those are the Digimon who were shunned because they were not chosen, but they survived anyway.
That was Garurumon.
Anyway, so you have two. You have one strike. Two strikes.
Did not understand that explanation whatsoever. I have one strike.
One strike.
Basically, I have two strikes left to use.
Okay. It's basically Noah's Ark.
I understand that part. I don't understand who was chosen from that explanation.
I don't care. I think everyone who is not an X antibody Digimon in the movie was chosen. And like,
I thought it was the opposite.
No, it's that the X antibody Digimon
the X antibody Digimon themselves. Are the ones that are not
supposed to.
Oh. Right. That's why Doraemon's being shunned by the Mishramon in the beginning.
Okay. I thought the Digimon that were just like hanging out there were the Digimon that were originally there in the new digital world and weren't chosen. They were just already there.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think there was like an initial inhabitants.
Okay.
It's bullshit.
Okay. So one answer off the board.
Alphamon?
Two strikes.
Worth a shot.
Yeah, as I said, this one's really hard. But there was a hint in. I don't know.
I think I already got enough hints with you guys trying to explain the X antibody to me, because otherwise I would just be guessing like a ton of random Digimon that probably don't even have X antibodies. Well, I'm not going to guess Garurumon now since you didn't even remember that's who was on the other team, unless you were trying to psych me out. No, Jeff.
I'm not saying anything.
I know you're not saying anything, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to talk.
That's not what Steve Harvey does.
He doesn't give hints either.
He doesn't give hints. He just makes fun of contestants.
Wait, Ash, you've actually watched Family Feud?
No.
That sounded defensive.
But I know that you're not supposed to give hints.
Bring on the beef, baby!
That's what Steve Harvey would say.
So wait, who were your guesses?
I guessed...
Alphamon.
And Dukemon was my other incorrect guess.
Okay.
Which is wrong. They should have chosen him.
Yeah. I agree.
Best character in the movie.
Okay.
I really have no idea. Garurumon, that's the only other one I can remember. Oh, yeah. Seriously?
All right. Are you
did try to psych me out.
I did not try to deceive you. When I was saying I didn't remember who was on the other side, I knew it was Garurumon. I didn't want to say Garurumon, but I didn't remember the other Digimon is what I was trying to sidestep around.
It's Kokuamon.
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Listeners are garbage once again. You're just so garbage.
I repeat, no one likes this movie, so not many people voted.
I can't believe people did not pick Darumon, Omnimon.
Omnimon was basically the main character of this movie.
Did he have an X antibody?
At the end, he's an X antibody.
Yep.
He was?
Yep.
Yes.
Alphamon gave it to him.
Yeah.
Very confused. Oh, that.
Yeah.
to seal himself.
Okay, let's... Okay, so I guess this point doesn't... These points go to Asher. It doesn't really... there's no, like, season tally for this, but...
But West Coast gets to win once again.
Now let's talk about the animation in this movie. This is, I think, the most striking thing about the movie. We're going to get into the plot and everything else later, but this is...
Striking.
Yeah. Right. We can definitely... I think we can all agree, of all of the things animated in the history of anime, this is one of them.
This is one of them.
The animation in this movie. I think Andrew's already alluded to the fact that it is low budget. I hesitate to call it low budget just because, I think it perpetuates a myth that, I think especially for CGI animation, is untrue that, like, just throw money at it will make it better. We titled the episode after Pixar or whatever, and, like, I think that's a pretty clear comparison. Like, you can't just take a new CGI animation studio, throw tons of money at them, and expect them to make Pixar quality animation. It takes like years, decades of building up talent, building up knowledge, building up resources, technology. Like, there's so many factors, and obviously money can help you hire people that can help you get those things, but it takes time, takes all sorts of things. And so I hesitate to, I'm curious if people have can point to interviews or things they talked about, production values and how much money they had for this and how constrained they were. But in the absence of that, I hesitate to just say it looked crappy, therefore bad budget. Because this CG animation studio, I assume, because I never heard of them, they're probably some crappy studio that hasn't really made anything of worth or that actually looked good. But that's apparently not true. I have not seen it, but the 2007 TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, apparently they made that. And apparently, like, I looked at a couple of clips, and apparently you have seen it. It actually looked really good, the animation quality.
I mean, it was a decent movie, but it's definitely better than what we got in X Evolution.
So when I looked at the critical reaction, people, lots of criticism for the plot and the story, but...
Well, yeah, it was rushed.
Yeah.
Okay, but apparently the art style, the animation itself was apparently well regarded, and I just looking at a couple clips.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Looking at a couple clips, I was like, there are people and they look, it wasn't like super realistic, but it was like this.
They have expressions and stuff. Yeah.
This actually looks impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't look awkward, uncanny valley hell like this movie.
Well, what's the time difference?
2 years. So this released in 2005.
Oh, really?
And TMNT was 2007. Yeah, so no idea like what the kind of budget for both movies, the amount of time they had to work on them. This was probably rushed, and like Andrew was saying, there are rumors of having tons of production issues, which totally makes sense. It definitely feels like something that would.
Yeah.
And the stuff they did before this movie, I had not really heard of, but also didn't look that terrible. So there was a TV series. So this was their first feature-length film, but the things they worked on before were TV series and short films. But there was a TV series in 2002 called Zentrix and Father of the Pride in 2004.
Oh, God.
Oh, really?
Had you seen that?
I remember that.
I remember it. It did not do... Wait, wasn't that DreamWorks?
So that was, okay, so that was like helmed by DreamWorks, and this company, Imagi Animation Studios, did the animation for, like, I think the creative guidance was from DreamWorks, supposedly, when I read on Wikipedia. Yeah, so what thinking about the animation this movie made me think of was stories that I'd heard about Pixar and the way that their technology guides their creative processes. And specifically, I'm thinking of stories I heard about that one of the reasons they worked on Monsters, Inc. was because of advances in their technology to render fur on, what's the blue guy?
Mike. Sully.
Oh, yeah. Mike is the eyeball.
Either one.
Mike Wazowski.
And yeah, so Sully, like, being able to render the fur is what opened them up to doing that. And yeah, this movie, it feels like I feel like the Royal Knights and the ex-Digimon, most of the ex-Digimon, not all of them, but most of the ex-Digimon were rendered well and looked...
Well, yeah, because they were smooth metal.
Right. I think that the animation in this movie worked well, and that smooth metal Angemon, on the other hand, is also metal and not smooth and yeah, and some of the other characters, like Wizardmon, who is not smooth or metal, and just like, oh, okay, please don't make me look at you.
Or Mommy Mon.
Yeah, Mommy Mon, too. So, yeah, it just feels like if this movie were to be, like, designed or produced well with the technology they had on hand, it would have focused on those characters to the exclusion of everyone else and not featured a Digimon like Doraemon that was rendered poorly all the time. I mean, yeah, they did not really have... The animation style did not go well with his fur and almost everything about him until it became Alphamon.
Poor guy.
Yeah. But Ashley, he's your favorite, so...
I think he was fine.
Doraemon's animation did nothing wrong.
Yeah, all the other animations I agree with, but I think Doraemon's animation was like, no, it's not amazing, but it wasn't like,
yeah,
oh no, this has brought me out of the story. Like,
it's true. It's not like a bunch of the other Digimon are like, this is horrendous, but like Doraemon is just like, this does not look good. Okay, I'll go along with you. And like, once you've accepted it, it doesn't get any worse after that. So it's like, fine, I guess.
I liked that CGI Sylphimon had very feminine features.
Oh, really?
Did it?
Really?
I didn't remember
that.
I
feel that. Like it's, the lips were really, really feminine.
Okay, when you go through and take screenshots, you need to take lots of screenshots of Sylphimon's lips.
Yeah, I'll just try to get like a super close up.
Yeah. Okay, so any more animation?
The water looked awful.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about, but I could tell they were proud of that. I could tell they were proud of that water, though. They kept using it.
They were proud of that water,
They kept using it. They were in a forest, and suddenly they were on the water again. I was like, what? Honestly, why are you on the water again?
Honestly, I always thought CGI water looked horrible until, like, around Cars, which was also, like, around 2005. Now they... No, wait. That can't be right. When did Cars come out?
It's probably around then.
2006. Like, I feel like that was the first time I thought water looked remotely realistic.
When did this movie come out?
2005.
I mean, Finding Nemo came out in 2003, and...
Yeah, but, no, but the difference between Finding Nemo and Cars is that Finding Nemo was underwater most of the time,
There's a difference between light refraction underwater and seeing the surface of water. The surface of water is what's rendered here and looks terrible. A lot of people compare the animation to, I think unfairly, to PS1 era animation. I think it's more realistically PS2 era. But
it's definitely better than PS1. Have you played a PS1 game recently?
I think maybe what it is it's like about the level of like fancy pre-render cutscenes from PS1 era. Maybe like you might have like a really high budget fancy PS1 era cutscene. Maybe to look like this.
Maybe I was more annoyed any time that the animation tried to be cool and do like slow mo crap. I was like, no, stop.
Really?
Yeah,
because I was thinking that actually, like the actual like animation looks so crappy. The like a lot of the models move around like they have no weight, especially like Metal Gurumon. I think I noticed the most. I think Wargreymon X was mostly fine, and that's like part of their characteristics is how much they can like jump around really quickly. But like there are times where Metal Gurumon X is just like on the floor and then like flying up, but like there's no acceleration. It's just like joop, joop, like okay, that's it. Just makes them feel like they don't have weight or they don't feel like real objects. And that's definitely something that like has improved over time with people's understanding what pulls them out of animation. But
I did not notice that. But anytime they did slow-mo, it just felt like it just looked horrible and did not convey the sense of like what you normally use slow-mo for, just like emphasizing a cool move. It was the opposite of that is what it felt like.
See, what my point I was trying to make was actually that, like, even though the animation was really bad, like, technically on lots of levels, that the direction of it was not so bad. That, like, the way scenes were shot and framed and everything was not nearly as
good. Shot.
Okay, there's not a literal camera shooting real people acting on things, but, like, it's still... you could still say, I don't know. I don't think it's wrong to say like anime is shot. Anyway, the way things are framed and storyboarded, I think still made things feel relative, somewhat coherent or competent. And I don't know, I can't remember too many of those instances actually where it slowed down. The only one that like really sticks in my head is when they're walking past Magnumon. Did you think it was really bad there?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when
during
like
fights.
WarGreymon, when he initially gets to the exit and all the faux Drumon, what is it called?
They're Dex DoorGreymon.
Yes, those things are there, Death and he's fighting X. them. There's a moment in the animation, there's at least one moment in the animation where it's like he comes up from the water and then it does like weird jarring slowy things. Oh, unless I'm misinterpreting it, and it was actually supposed to be that it was sped up. In which case, neither way worked, so like...
So now let's talk. We're going to walk through the movie. We'll start off with Act 1, which is the setup. And for this section, I'm considering Act 1, you know, from the start of the movie, the Leomon scene, Leomon sacrifices himself, Mushroomon bully Doraemon, the Royal Knights have a little Skype call in Jostle Nega Space. And then the Andromon chosen Digimon meet with the X Digimon led by WarGreymon X. Then that gets crashed by Omegamon. He tries to wipe them all out. And then WarGreymon X passes on Tokomon to Doraemon. What do people think about this?
Wait a second. Okay, wait. You said Leomon was sacrificing himself, but
No,
dying. Yeah, isn't it? He's just dying because he didn't have an X antibody. Okay.
Sure. I think of Leomon dying and I just autocomplete sacrifice.
He was literally trying to kill Doraemon.
Right. He's chasing Doraemon down because what's been said about the plot is that, or I think what I want to kind of do in walking through this is like find what they're trying to do, what they're trying to express and to not actually express well. But I think what they're trying to set up with the scene is how normal Digimon are dying unless they've been chosen or have an X antibody. And so his only choice is to get an X antibody.
Wait, so does that scene take place in the old digital world?
I don't entirely buy this idea that like the digital world is a different space. Like when they're talking about the new digital world, I think that might just mean like, yeah, we've wiped everyone out.
It's on a different server.
I don't think they ever say like there is a new server.
Yeah, I think they're just talking like the new digital world is the era that has been brought by the X antibodies.
But if you read up on the backstory, it says that it's a separate digital world.
What backstory? There is no official backstory. Like there are recaps and summaries that have tried to extract meaning from it, and I think some of them don't necessarily do it so well.
It's flavor text from like the card game or something.
Well, okay, that's another thing that like there are lots of characters in this movie that have flavor text and null canon lore, whatever, that doesn't quite match up with this movie and how things are explained in the movie, which I think we'll get to. I don't think the movie gives enough, doesn't entirely spell out whether it is a physically, like, entirely new world, it is a new server, new data, everything. I think it makes a lot more sense of just, like, yeah, tried to wipe out everyone, and whoever's left, it's the new era. I think that makes things, like, a lot more sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, otherwise, it would have to be that, like, there are entry points, and all the antibody Digimon are, like, entering through those points.
Or like data is copied over and it's like, well, how do things get copied without anyone copying? Like, I think it makes a lot more sense.
Doesn't make sense if they don't want the X antibody Digimon in the world. Like if there was an easy way to keep them out, then that would be happening more frequently.
So I think it makes a lot more sense for the X antibody to be this like kind of Jurassic Park-esque life will find a way. Like the Digimon then wiped out, some of them will evolve to get this immunity to the program and then stay around in the world. Makes a lot more sense than if it was actually a new digital world space, you could just copy the Digimon over and delete the old one. And then I don't know. I like thinking of it as errors. I think it makes a lot more sense. But the whole writing of this movie is so obtense. So obtuse. intensely obtuse.
There we go. I like obtense. I think that should be a word that we use.
It feels kind of like a more extreme intense. Obtense.
So wait, but this scene makes absolutely no sense when you watch it, though.
The Leomon scene?
Yeah.
What about it doesn't make sense?
Like if you haven't watched the rest of the movie already, you have no idea what's going on.
True facts.
Right, I think it's supposed to be setting up that Digimon need X antibody to survive. But yeah, it doesn't, I guess it makes somewhat more sense later on. It doesn't really do that job well. And
no. I mean, yeah, it relies on you to like piece together from watching the rest of the movie what that scene was supposed to mean.
So many things, like all the exposition in this movie is hoping you piece it together in little pieces and fragments that don't fit together well.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of anything that just like just makes no sense even without the context of the, with the context of the rest of the movie. I can't remember it there, but I mean, it's also just like it's just like silly and absurd that the framing of like Liamon chasing him down and then like him putting up a little resistance and then be like, okay, I guess I'll just die. And then like as soon as Liamon dies, then Doraemon's like, no, it's like he was just trying to kill you. Like,
yeah. I was mostly confused. I was like, Doraemon, why do you don't care about him? Yeah, like, he wanted to kill you.
It's so cheesy and stupid. It's like, no, death, oh no. And yeah, and I mean, like, part of like a central like theme to the movie going forward is that how much Doraemon is affected by the Digimon that have tried to help him and have like passed on their will to him to survive. But like, Liamon wasn't trying to help him. Liamon was trying to kill him. And then was just like, I guess you'll survive. Ugh, Liamon.
They just needed him to be Liamon.
Yeah, they just need to kill off Liamon. Obligatory. It didn't make any sense for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So they just need to put it in there at some point. Yeah. The Mushroomon bullying Doraemon, I think, was also supposed to be spelling out how much the not chosen Digimon are picked on and stuff. But, like, it's so unclear that the Mushroomon are chosen and Doraemon
exactly.
isn't.
Exactly. I'm like, why would Mushroomon be chosen? I don't understand.
Like, yeah, it's so random. And, like, there's never any explanation given. Because I guess it's supposed to be, like, no one really knows Yggdrasil's criteria or whatever. Although if it is, you know, if Project Arc is really that much modeled after Noah's Ark, I guess it would make sense if it's, like, a couple of every Digimon.
Yeah, but there are a kajillion Mushroomon.
Yeah, it's true. There are a bunch of them.
Yeah, but they can digivolve into various Digimon.
I don't think that's a reason.
Later on.
Yeah.
Probably not the reason, no.
No. Probably poor writing is the reason, but
yeah. I mean, we have creative power. We can make a reason for that. My guess is that the Mushroomon are so quick-lived, they just multiplied really fast.
I think they just wanted to have the Digimon that are beating up the Mushroomon eat them, because Mushroomon are food.
Wait, what?
There was definitely at least one Digimon that ate a Mushroomon.
Oh. Yes, yes, there was. Okay. It was horrifying. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think there are interesting concepts going like flying around with the fact that everyone who's been left has either been chosen by Yggdrasil or has like basically chosen themselves through their own willpower to survive and develop their X antibody. I think it's really interesting, but having that like and I think there's like this is a terminology used in that first scene where like Mushroomon are talking about how like we're chosen and you're not, and like I think it kind of harkens back a little bit to the Digidestined and you know in Japanese being called the chosen children and everything, and it's using the same verb at Abu to choose in Japanese and stuff. And so like I don't know, mm-hmm. it's an interesting like evolution of the concept of choosing from the main series when they were kids and stuff. And we've always kind of found it a little bit, or I've always found it a little bit like not super great the way they like, you know, they could choose a couple Digimon and then everyone else is like totally unchosen. Like, oh, you guys aren't cool. You're not as cool as these guys that are chosen. And Zero Two tries to kind of curb that by being like, everyone gets a Digimon. And then they forget about it. And here, I think they're trying to fight back that a little bit because like, it's all about the Digimon who are trying to survive despite not being chosen.
Right. I mean, I think it's interesting that in the normal series, do we normally think about the Digimon as being chosen? No.
Like, yeah, no. But I guess they are, like, in Adventure, they are. They don't refer to it that way, but, like,
they're
the Digimon
chosen,
that are born for that task.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, because it's never framed that way, it's whatever. But in this, it tries to at least be like, okay, yeah, I'll take that concept head on.
Yeah. Hmm. It's frustrating because, like, all those things, like, oh, this is an interesting idea that they explored, but, like, explored in a completely not interesting way. Or, like... not well. It's like, oh yeah, I feel like the potential in ideas like that to be explored is like, oh, maybe it'll the way they explore it will be cool itself, and it no, it just wasn't. So
nope.
I wrote down some lines from the confrontation between Angemon and between the chosen Digimon and the ex-Digimon that Omegamon crashes, and then Wargreymon tries to like Wargreymon's trying to like convince the chosen Digimon that they like should like Yggdrasil is their common enemy. And I guess right. There are multiple levels of the writing being obtuse because I mean obviously this hasn't been officially licensed or subtitled or dubbed or anything, so we're relying on disparate fan sub groups. I think we between the four of us we've watched different fan subs, but like this. So here's the wording from the fan subs I watched. Everything occurred because Yggdrasil's X program was executed. Even this new world will be contaminated because Yggdrasil has started hunting down Digimon with the X antibody. Then Eightmon's like, that's a lie. Then Wargreymon continues, they're going to wipe out all X Digimon. Within that, the X program will release itself in this world. Knowing that, isn't it apparent to conclude that... Oh, wait. Crap, I actually understand this now. I wrote it down and read it multiple times. Like, this doesn't make any sense. So I guess what he's actually saying is that, like, he's going to, like, Yggdrasil is going to use the X program to wipe out all Digimon now. Like, not even choosing some people to be... Not choosing Digimon to be immune from it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut this all out. Sorry. I can't believe that made sense as I got... Oh, God.
No, I think you should leave it in.
Oh, but yeah, I guess that kind of encapsulates the whole experience. I guess I should finish. So yeah, so then Wargreymon X finishes. Knowing that, isn't it apparent to conclude that Yggdrasil itself is our common enemy? And right, so I guess the point of what he's trying to do there is convince the not-X Digimon that they're about to be wiped out too. And I guess what he's saying there is that, like, before the X program was deployed and some chosen Digimon were, like, excluded from it. And now it's like, oh, it's going to be deployed again and you won't be immune to it. But that's not what happens at all. Like, instead, the Royal Knights are wiping them all out. And then the Dex Store Greymon wipe them all out. So, like, whatever. Sure, that passage makes some sense after reading it four times. But even then, it doesn't fit the rest of the movie. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like maybe if less of the Digimon had been wiped out, I'd be willing to buy that more. But, like, the way they set it up, I thought, was that there's only, like, 2% of the Digimon survived or something.
Well, what I think is supposed to be going on there is that Yggdrasil planned to wipe out, you know, 98% of Digimon, or 99% of Digimon, with 1% being chosen, like the Mushroomon. It's weird that they're a go-to example, but that's how they set it up. But instead, there is another 1% or whatever percentage, another chunk of Digimon who survived through own willpower through developing X antibody. And the presence of those is what makes Yggdrasil be like, no, the plan did not go as according to schedule. So I need to improvise and do it again. And this time wipe out everyone because it didn't work the first time. That's how I understood that.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is. It doesn't. So in conclusion of this act, like, this is supposed to be the setup. This is supposed to be, like, setting the stage, making us understand the conflict, making us understand, like, what's going on in this world. And instead, I don't think just from watching this first act, that's clear at all. Even, like, we have to discuss it, having watched the rest of the thing, piecing things together, rereading passages multiple times, like, ugh. And yeah, so it ends with Tokomon being passed to Doraemon. I don't know. Their friendship is apparently a thing. I mean, Tokomon's cute to be around, I guess.
No one wants to take care of Tokomon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't love his teeth?
He loses them and it makes him creepier.
Wait, he loses them?
When he becomes ex-Tokomon, he doesn't have them anymore.
Oh, wait, really?
I mean, you don't see them anymore. It was weirding me out, guys. It was super weird.
But, like, normal Tokomon doesn't really show them until he, you know, like...
He still has little fangs sticking out. And ex-Tokomon didn't. Ex-Tokomon didn't. And it was super weird. Really weirded me out.
Interesting.
Let's move on to Act 2. So Act 2, this is the confrontation. I also try to break this out into the... Because I think, like, the three-act structure is how Western movies and stuff are structured. And so I tried to also look at the, like, more Japanese...
Isn't it a four-act structure?
It's only three. But the Japanese structuring is a little different. The Kisho Ten Ketsu format, which is four. Right. So the general three-act structure in Western cinema is setup, confrontation, resolution. And that roughly correlates to, like, the Japanese Kisho Ten Ketsu, kind of, if you combine the Ten and Ketsu into both being resolution. But anyway, so the second act, the confrontation, this is, like, really the bulk of the movie. Like, it has a couple different, I think there are basically two major set pieces. There's the, like, fighting against Omegamon over the water, and then the Dex Door Greymon invasion stuff. So Omegamon is chasing Wargreymon X, but then I guess gets distracted, need to go to a Royal Knights meeting, and then Wargreymon X and Metal Greymon X meet up and talk. And I was kind of surprised that, like, Metal Greymon X was, like, you know, siding with the Royal Knights a little bit. Like,
you mean Metal Greymon X?
Did I say War Greymon X? Yes.
No, you said Metal Greymon.
That would be cool, though. We should have seen that.
I mean, there is one.
In my notes, I've just written MGX and WX, WGX, which is much easier than saying all those names. I'll just say Metal. So, yeah, Metal is surprisingly believing in the Royal Knights, which I think there's like a theme running through the movie. And also, I think running through most of the incarnations of the Royal Knights, which we'll eventually get to, that I think when Digimon uses the Royal Knights, they like the recurring idea of unjust orders and like this group of Digimon being defined by their justice and honor. And what do they do when their orders themselves are unjust? I mean, obviously, that's like central to this movie of like Omegamon's arc is him being like, no, I don't question these orders at all, to questioning them after killing Dukemon, questioning them, to then eventually even gain the X-antibody himself. And I think that's supposed to be the culmination of his arc in that regard.
And that's why he's the main character, except not.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we recorded that, like, the movie's a lot better if you think of Omegamon as the main character, but
I think the movie is better if you think of nobody as the main character.
Well, I was surprised.
Everyone's not the main character. Nobody's the main character.
Well, what surprised me when I actually went to watch it is that, like, I was like, wait, isn't War Greymon X the main character? Like, they're kind of, yeah, it's so fragmented and split. And I don't think it's like a good thing. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, though.
I think it's bad if you try to think that there's a main character.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not Doraemon.
Because it's not anybody.
I remember one of the big complaints in the Plinkett or Red Letter Media reviews of the Star Wars prequels, I think specifically referring to The Phantom Menace, the first prequel, was that it doesn't have a main character like the original Star Wars movies do. And I think that's like a thing that a lot of people echo that feeling of. I don't think it's a bad thing, though.
Yeah, but at least with Star Wars, you've mostly focused on the light side.
Yeah, I think it's more interesting in this regard to like focus on all the different sides. And
yeah, but it ends up being a mess.
Right, it's definitely a mess, and I think the problem with focusing on not having a strong focus on a central character and having lots of disparate, almost primary characters is that it feels like trying to have their cake and eat it too. It reminds me a lot of Final Fantasy XII, I guess, what comes to mind, maybe even X as well. A bunch of the Final Fantasies, apparently, where they have a like most interesting character who's not the main character, and the main character is this like boring, bland player insert avatar kind of, who is basically just there to be like, I'm along with this cool journey. That's, I mean, Titus is more than that, but also Yuna's so much more interesting and should have been the main character. But
she got her own game.
She did, like, but like in the original game is much better, and it's full of Titus being, this is my story. It's like, no it's not, it's totally Yuna's story.
Yeah. Get out of here, Titus.
But that's definitely much more, there's a much bigger imbalance there in 12, where it's like Vaughn is almost nothing, like, and Ash, do they pronounce it Ash instead of Ash?
I don't know. Anyway. I don't remember.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's definitely what it feels like here too, that it's like, want to have Doraemon to have like a cute avatar on the poster and to have this like big twist at the end, like, oh, he was actually a Royal Knight. Wow.
He was awesome all time.
But then like they actually want a strong character like War Greymon X to be a strong moral viewpoint that is always like unwaveringly good and protecting the Digimon. And they also want a primary character who learns to question, like goes from being
conflicted.
Yeah. Like has an arc from going totally trusting of Yggdrasil to totally rejecting it. And yeah, I feel like it's just a sign of the movie being pulled in so many different directions, why it works so poorly. I'm trying to think of other important things that happen in this act in particular. I thought the Doraemon and Tokemon fighting Omegamon, when they're basically just like attacking Omegamon, Omegamon's like, why are you doing this? Like, you guys have no hope against me. I guess that's like the first bit of evidence he has about like why, because I think that encapsulated the whole like, you know, it's representative of the Digimon who were chosen to be wiped out, but who survived through their own grit and developing X antibody. You know, like they have no hope against fighting Omegamon, but they do it anyway. They keep getting beaten down, they keep doing it anyway. And he doesn't understand that at all. I don't know. There's some interesting parallels there to real life situations of like privilege and people in privilege not understanding, like fundamentally not understanding at all how people who are not in that privilege act and still getting to have control over their lives. Ugh. don't want to bring real world politics into too much, but
it's kind of hard not to watch this movie and be like, yep, that's xenophobia for you.
Well, yeah, totally, yeah.
This movie totally does not have anything to do with anything today.
What? So, okay. Oh, God. I need to talk about Metal Gurumon X, like, sacrificing himself to protect Tokomon and Doraemon and passing on his X antibody.
It was pointless.
Passing on his X antibody to Tokomon to save him, to revive him. Okay, first of all, the first axis in which is BS is that why does the X antibody revive Tokomon? Like, that's not a mechanic that I guess fits into anything else that's been explained in the movie. And also, yeah, like, ugh, Metal Gurumon just comes back later, not dead, not having lost his antibody. So him
like
both dying,
nothing happens.
Yeah, him both dying and giving up the antibody had no consequence. Ugh. Ugh.
But this also raises the question, wouldn't that save Leomon? Could Leomon have been the main character?
Could Doraemon just have passed on his antibody to Leomon and then died, but then not died and stuck around? And
but basically, if Leomon actually killed Doraemon, none of this would happen.
I don't know
so
about that.
Everything is Leomon's fault.
That logic seems about as convoluted as this movie.
Well, yeah, but Doraemon is the cause of everything in this movie, and Leomon could have prevented, like, half the stuff from happening in this movie, especially with all the Dex Doru Greymons.
Yeah, I guess I was going to say that actually, like, Doraemon is not, I mean, he without Doraemon's intervention, they don't save anyone. But yeah, I guess it is through Magnemon capturing Doraemon and then, like, getting the data from him. That's what Nijasa uses to create, what's the name? Dex Doragoramon? Which then
I think
hatches.
It's Greymon.
No, it's different. There's okay. This is another okay.
It's Dexter Greymon.
No, it's not. Okay, okay. I'm gonna go down this well of BS, this well of nonsense. Okay, so the Doraemon forms that we see in this movie. There's Doraemon, Dorugamon, Dorugreymon, and then Alphamon. But there's also a Doraemon form that's not shown in this movie, which is Doragoramon, which is basically the Mega in place of Alphamon. And the evil forms that Yggdrasil makes, the one they fight, that they fight before they get to the main chamber, that Omegamon and Alphamon fight, is Dex Doragoramon, which is the, like, Dex version of the Mega form. And the army of things that are flying around are Dex Doragreymon. So
there's actually another one that they fight at the very end,
which is Dexmon.
Yes.
But that's okay, so that makes some sense. What I find really the most BS and nonsensical angle of this is that Dex, so Dex is what they say in Japanese and everything, it's Dexu Doraemon, whatever. And the way that's stylized in the official Romaji, like in the official cards and everything, is that Dex is actually Death X. So, like, I don't know if you guys in your subtitles had, like, if they would have mentioned Dex Doraemon, it might have said, like, Death X Doraemon. And it's like, that's not how they say, it's not what this.
That is incredible.
And also, like, if you look up, there's, like, an official kind of evolution called Death X Evolution, which is, like, supposed to
what?
Be, like, if you Google Death X Evolution, you can find that, like, supposedly, according to the Null Canon lore or whatever, like, Dex Doraemon, the things that are flying around in the army, are supposed to actually be, like, Doraemon going through Death X Evolution, which...
Right.
But, like, that makes... This makes me so frustrated in, like, how BS it is, because dying and then coming back as an X Evolution form, or coming back as an X form, is exactly what Dukemon does. It's not some, like, in the movie itself, it is not presented as this, like, Dex or Death X. It's just, like... It's presented as, like, if you're about to die and you have enough willpower, you come back as the next antibody. And yet you look up this Dex stuff and it's like, there's this alternate Death X evolution. Blah, 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 and it's like, oh, okay. So that's what I was alluding to before when you were like, oh, if you look up the backstory and the cards and stuff, it contradicts it because that's, like, a totally different concept. It's not even, like, they use those forms, but they're totally different connotation in this movie.
Like, it's the same, similar concepts. It's just... Usually the media doesn't exactly use
right.
it.
It doesn't exactly line
word.
Up. It's tough though with this because usually when things don't line up one to one with the card game stuff, like the media, the anime or whatever, has its own internal logic that makes sense, and we don't need to refer to the other stuff to make sense of it. But this one, you need to. No, you don't need to. But it itself on its own doesn't really make that much sense. Ugh. Yeah. So a bunch of tons of stuff happens in the second arc, second act. I keep defaulting to arc because we talk about arc so much, but tons of stuff happens in this act, but mainly the Dex Doraemon that are hatched. There's a big invasion. Doraemon digivolves twice into Doraemon.
In like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Dookmon comes back as Dookmon X opens a portal for Durgaemon to get away.
Except we don't know how.
Opening
how
the portal?
Does Dookmon come back?
Oh, opening the portal. I was like, opening the portal is like the thing that makes the most sense in this movie. Yeah, Dookmon coming back. Oh, right. Dookmon coming back, I think, makes sense in the sense that, like, Dookmon being on the verge of death and then being reborn as an X antibody.
But he disappeared when Omegamon killed him.
But, like, maybe the data reformed, whatever. I think that is similar to the concept of, you know, a bunch of Digimon being wiped out by the X program and surviving with the X antibody. It, not totally doesn't make sense because, like, yeah. Because it wasn't, like, Dookmon wasn't killed by the X program. He was killed by Omegamon's attack, right? Like,
I don't know. Just death doesn't make any sense in this world. Because sometimes the bodies are still there. Sometimes they're not.
So the third... Let's talk about the third act of this movie. This is... the resolution, but also like the main conflict, the also including the big twist. Oh my god, guys, did you know that Doraemon is actually Elfamon? Whoa.
Mind blowing.
This movie's so cool now that you know that, isn't it? Like, it's so cool.
It's got nothing on Cyber Sleuth. I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah, we shouldn't reveal what that is, but the Elfamon reveal in that game is actually a lot cooler.
It's a lot more WTF-y too.
It's a lot more out of the blue.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
It was also a little bit Utena movie-esque, if you know what I'm thinking of. Ashley, do you know what I'm thinking of?
What?
Isn't there a car involved?
Yes.
So I'm thinking of Utena movie transforming into a car.
What does that have to do with this?
Because that's the Alpha.
There's a lot of layers going on here.
Getting back to this movie, this third act, I'm considering that when...
Third disc three.
Yeah, it's not a JRPG. This third act is, I'm considering everything that happens in once Dookmon's open the portal for Doru Greymon to go up and confront Yggdrasil. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of like things that were done, things that happen, like Omegamon fights Doraemon until he evolves into Alphamon, then they go together and they fight one form, the next form, blah, 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 blah. Kind of like JRPG final battle boss forms, but...
It's totally a JRPG.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even the most JRPG thing that I thought happened was actually when Wizardmon, I guess this is in Act 2, my bad, but when Wizardmon, like, you know, uses his staff magic to very slowly... carry Daruman to the exit. I'm like, this reminds me of all those dumb missions you have to do where it's like protect somebody. Escort mission where they're very slowly moving something and you're just supposed to shoot everything that comes at it. Basically what that was.
Yeah, I think trying to think of things to say about this third act. I feel like in some ways it's kind of like the least interesting.
Yeah, everybody agrees. Yggdrasil is still bad.
No, they don't. I mean, Magnumon lets them pass, but is like informs Yggdrasil. Like, is totally not on the same page as them. It's kind of like, I'll let you guys go.
Yeah,
to,
but
like,
he's the least interesting one in this movie. Like, he's given the least amount of anything.
Of the four World Knights, this movie, he is the least developed. That's a big thing that was disconnected from my memory. My memory of this movie was that, if not all the Royal Knights, because I think I knew that at this point in the timeline, at this point in 2005, I mean, all of the Royal Knights had not been revealed. There was still like one that hadn't been revealed yet, Jessmon, I guess. And so like, I knew that they wouldn't all be in this movie. But I thought at least most of them were. But no, it's just four. It's just four. And I think Andrew and I were talking about this before we actually hit record. But the credits lists Lord Knightmon/Crusadermon as having a Japanese voice. And so like, as having a voice. And so it's like, was that... Let us know. Write us in the comments if you noticed Lord Knightmon having a voice, because we did not.
Was Lord Knightmon there at all?
In the credits. I didn't think so.
Like, on screen?
I didn't think so. Maybe it's just like a random voice without a face or something at some point. Like in one like the early Skype calls or something. Yeah.
Maybe.
Nah, but by 2005, they only had 8 of the 12.
Oh, okay.
There are 12? Jesus.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Knight of the Round.
I don't know enough about the Royal Knights.
No, there's 13.
Apparently Knight of the Round is a Final Fantasy VII terminology. And I should say Knights of the Round Table.
You are such a loser nerd. You know that? Like, so, you're just so sad.
Oh, apparently in different stories, there are different numbers of Knights of the Round Table, ranging from 12 to more than 150. Okay. Jesus.
That's a big table.
Yeah, that's like a... That's like the AKB48 parody in Atmon, which has 407 idols in it, level of absurdity. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, even in this act, like, Omegamon and Alphamon having their argument is kind of just, like, Omega, we've seen Omegamon expressed out up until this point, and then he's just like, I guess before Alphamon is formed, just fighting Dorogreymon is just like, nope, I'm not gonna, like, it's just, I don't know. It felt like their conflict was contrived. They'll, like, if I win, that'll confirm things, but if you win, you can go to Jaso. It was just, I don't know, whatever. I didn't see a reason. It just felt forced to give Dorogreymon a reason to, like, be reborn as Alphamon, to need to digivolve. And then especially the turn of, like, oh, well, now you're Alphamon. Okay, I guess that's cool. Let's go together. It, that felt forced. It also just, like, the idea of Alphamon being, so in the lore of this movie, even though there are, like, 8 other Aurora Knights that are not shown, they do have, like, screen. I didn't count the number of screens.
Actually, I think it's 9 that weren't shown.
Well, yeah, I didn't count the number of screens, so, like, it's unclear how many they're implying are other Royal Knights. But, like, this idea that Alphamon is this, like, I forget what they say exactly, but, like, when Alphamon forms and they're like, oh, you are Alphamon, but, like, we thought Alphamon didn't exist or whatever. And it's like, oh, this idea that you have a member of this organization that doesn't exist, like, the Royal Knights as a concept is so absurd in almost every iteration.
It really is.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how, because a lot of these ideas that are explored here about the Royal Knights and dealing with unjust orders and all this stuff is explored in Sabers.
It's explored every single time that the Royal Knights appear. Every single time.
My recollection was executed better in Data Squad. And also in Cyber Sleuth. But
you have it in Frontier, you have it in Sabers, you have it in Cyber Sleuth. You probably have it in a Try.
Yeah, that's. I really don't want to try to go down that route again. Just to be the same. Because, yeah, we know that there's a Jossil. We know that there are a bunch of characters who are also Royal Knights present. But, yeah, I guess it's actually weird looking back at the history of the Royal Knights that Frontier did not explore those ideas of an unjust of Royal Knights. Because the Royal Knights in Frontier have the most evil, malicious orders. And yet there's like, nope, yeah, we're just evil. Okay, cool.
They sort of tried to touch on it, but not really.
I guess it's right at the end. Crusadermon starts to question a little bit. And then
of course, Lucimon just backstabs them.
Yeah. So, this final act, I was thinking when they're confronting the Yggdrasil's core or whatever, and they're both standing there, it made me think about how, like, I mean, this is just a structure. This is, I guess I shouldn't fault this movie for it because it's true of all Digimon stuff, but, like, they're going and they want answers from Yggdrasil, which obviously apparently can't give them answers. And they're just like, okay, it's not giving us answers. I guess we attack it now. And I was like, what? That's the only way you have to deal with problems is just kill it? That does not seem good.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was hilarious.
I mean, I guess they don't, I forget how it actually plays out. I guess they're about to attack it and then it turns into a dragon thing anyway, so.
No, I'm pretty sure they attack it first.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool. And then apparently killing Yggdrasil just, like, resets the world to make everything happy, and that's how everything's resolved. Cool.
They killed God.
They did.
Yeah.
Still not as amazing as what happens in Sabers, though.
See, I don't, we'll get to that when we get to that, but I don't know. This idea that, like, Yggdrasil is the god of the digital world, I guess I'd find more appealing if it were rooted more in digital terminology, you know, if it was like the server administrator of the world or something, you know, like, because that's clearly what's harking to a little bit, that it's like control of the digital network. And I feel like it's just obscured in nonsense by being like, it's the god of the digital world. Like, I get that you need that to hype it up and make it seem like a bigger deal, but yeah.
Well, Wikimon says that it's referred as the god of the digital world and says that it's the mysterious host computer that rules over the digital world.
Yeah, I got that implication from this movie that, like, because, yeah, the conversation at the very end, I was kind of surprised how much it kind of neatly wrapped up one of the themes that Dukemon X is explaining, that Yggdrasil needed to kill, like, started killing off Digimon, starting executing Project Arc because it wanted to live. And in that regard, it was just like all the other Digimon we've been focusing on, like the Digimon that developed the antibody, etc. It just wanted to live. Still didn't make it right, which kind of implied there, but yeah. It also, there's a problem this movie has throughout all of its writing, which is just like characters randomly have information without any reason for them to have it. Like, how does Dukemon X know this now about Yggdrasil's plans? Like, oh, there's stuff early on in Act 1 where, no, I guess it's Act 2, where War Greymon X like mentions Project Arc, and Dukemon's like, you know Project Arc's name? And it's like, yeah, I don't know how, like, how does he know the name? Like, maybe that is actually
explained. How do any of them know the name?
I think it actually may have mentioned Biomegamon, but like, yeah, if Yggdrasil does not communicate with them, how do they even get orders? Maybe they get messages. That's plausible. I keep being like, this doesn't make sense. Okay, I guess there is a possible explanation for it, not spelled out by the movie.
Well, I mean, it's annoying. I mean, yeah, I guess it's just like, do as I say. Don't know. Don't question why I said it to you. Just know that you're supposed to do this.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to like have any appreciation for their mindset in that situation, since we don't know, like, since the concept of the Royal Knights organization doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, for all we know, Omegamon has been born to be Omegamon, to always be a part of the Royal Knights. You know, so like, it's not like if there was like a character backstory there of like, you know, this Digimon who grew up idolizing the Royal Knights and wanted to be like them one day and then join the organization or something like that at all would give some context to things. But instead, it's just like, we are Royal Knights. This is how Royal Knights act. It's like, okay.
Yes.
I mean, I guess giving Omegamon that arc of questioning things after he kills Dukemon and everything is as close as we can get to that while still maintaining the BS nature of the Royal Knights. All right, and so now on social media, we asked people for their three-word reviews of this movie, anyone who can recall it, and... We got a couple responses, so we're going to go through them now. So starting on Facebook.
Zeke says, I like Doraemon, and then finishes with, just not the movie, lol.
it's basically Ashley.
Yeah.
Lucas says, great looking cutscene. And Nathan says, silly strange business.
That's a good summary.
Great looking PS2 cutscene.
PS 1.5.
Yeah, I just it made me think about now how the Final Fantasy movie recently, the Kingsglaive thing.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Did you see it, Asher? Oh. Yeah.
What do you think?
I enjoyed it, but I mean the graphics are incredible.
When did Advent Children come out?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Advent Children is a long time ago. It also still looks incredible.
Even The Spirits Within looks incredible. Oh my god, this came out the same year.
Same year as what?
Oh god, you're right. Advent Children came out in 2005. Oh wow.
Oh. All right, that's how you know this movie is actually garbage. Advent Children.
Okay, all right, that's not fair. Like, comparing other things to Final Fantasy's unbelievable graphics is... That's not cool.
Yeah. Like, I assume there's a whole...
Final Fantasy's garbage stories, though.
Advent Children is a good call, like, a good nostalgic retread. Okay,
Advent Children is good if you've played 7. Right. Maybe Kingsglaive is good if
No, the thing with Kingsglaive is you... Final Fantasy 15 is good if you've seen Kingsglaive. Otherwise, Chapter 1 doesn't make sense.
That's true, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
When I was bringing up Kingsglaive just to be like, that is also something that is, I mean, Kingsglaive was much more trying to be its own cinematic experience. Like, this maybe at some point was, but like, clearly it seems like it only has appeal if you're into Digimon a lot. And Kingsglaive was like, it's going to be like a full movie. We're going to get, where the dub is going to get fancy actors who have been Game of Thrones and like high prestige TV. And yet... The movie is basically, I think it would have been a fine opening cutscene, like a fine, super long cutscene, but like...
Yeah, like, I wish that, they should have put that on the disc, man, and then you just should have been able to play that before the game.
Yeah, I think the Kingsglaive story was enough, there's enough story content for a cutscene extracted into a big movie. Exevolution, I don't even know.
Exevolution, we tried.
But at the same time, I still don't understand anything that happened in Kingsglaive. Like, I feel like I didn't have enough context of anything.
It was obtuse. And I feel like if we had a similar discussion about Kingsglaive, we could probably... Like, did you come out of this discussion understanding Exevolution more?
Yes. Every time...
Oh, you're talking to her.
Every time that... Like, probably if I had rewatched it, I'd be like, okay, yes, again, things make sense. Like, I think that's why I watched it so many times. And when I was younger, too, because I was like, okay, it makes more sense the more times you watch it. But, like,
Right.
That doesn't necessarily make it better. It's just like,
no, sure, okay. I know. I'm just thinking like maybe Kingsglaive would have been a similar level of, if we like unpacked it enough, we'd be like, okay, I understand what they're going for in all these scenes.
That's true. I have not rewatched Kingsglaive, so perhaps upon a rewatch, it would make more sense.
Yep. So let's continue with three-word reviews from Twitter. So May Fisher-Guest from Lost in Translation said, why, Angemon, why?
So Joe at Lonely Distance says, Togemon's teeth, though.
Thank you!
I don't know if that meant, like, what that means. Because it's not, like, complaining about the absence of his Togemon X's teeth.
Yeah. I think it's talking about his actual teeth.
Fine, whatever. I thought someone understood me.
Once they listen to this, they'll understand you.
Yeah.
CC Takato said, PlayStation 1 CGI.
I thought yawning says, well, they tried, ..
Matt Kahn, who is CEO of Midboss and GamerX and all other stuff, said, more Vemon, okay. I guess it would have been okay if Vemon was more.
Was Vemon there?
Yeah, where He's was Vemon?
There was no Vemon.
Oh.
I don't know if that counts. But maybe the movie would have been okay if there was Vemon at all.
What about X Vemon X? That's what it needed.
It's true.
That's a very middle school screen name right there. X Vemon
X. Oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, that's a shame.
How?
So at the Sonic Geek says, dated CG animation.
Homoerotic at the Homoerotic said, can't even finish.
Ooh.
Burn.
At Evermoto says, Durumon is cute. Agree.
What do you do with Diego's four responses?
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll read them all. Corridor Prime said, cool X designs, and then also said, what's even happening? And then also said, more, 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 and then also said, Lucemon have mercy. That might not have been the right order, but...
Ramon / at Digimon fan for life says, Leomon's death legit? Question mark? Yeah.
He'd be always the only one.
Trent Chestnut at Ertzatz says, Digimon kills God.
It's Ertzatz. It's German.
La-di-da.
Kai at Kai Otaku Corner says, my fave movie. Is that a joke? I really can't tell. Is that sarcastic?
I don't think it's a joke.
See, I don't know. I've come around to like kind of returning to my initial position as when I first watched it, which is like, oh yeah, if you like dig into it a ton, like keep rewatching it, then like it's not so bad. So I think it's possible.
That's a lot of work to put into a movie.
Oh, totally. But that's what people do, especially when people are younger, right? Like they, you know, like play 200 hours of an RPG that isn't that great.
Are you saying
something?
I still
do that now.
Yeah, that's like, I've played the 200 hours of Zelda, but that's an amazing game, so. I don't know. I think it's in the realm of possibility for someone to think it's their favorite movie, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Danica at Vex Nexus says, stuff just happens.
I think that's, you know, something we should all learn from life.
Yeah, life is just stuff happens. at Zerudamon says, lots of screaming. Ah! Leomon is dead.
Anyway, the Phantom Geek at Sonic Geek said, Leomon's already dead. He kind of starts off already dying. So, like...
I guess the Phantom Geek had too.
Oh, was he there before?
Very disparate, yeah. Carolus / at Charlie _ 2814 says, Leomon dies again. He definitely does. He gets... takes like 2 minutes.
Just gets it right out of the way. I mean...
Yeah.
You are already dead.
It's kind of like the opposite of Try. Like, Try Chapter 2 was like, Leomon's back. Isn't this great? Isn't this great? Like, and then, like, at the very last minute, it's like, nope, he's dead. This one's like, nope, dead at the beginning. And then...
Yeah. They're like, whoa, Leomon.
And the final one from Alvaro at Crimson 9660 says, why torture yourselves?
Wow.
Hope this wasn't torture for listeners.
It wasn't torture. It's just...
bad.
Now, it is time for me to find the sound clip. Now, it is time for...
Terminal Judgment!
Anyone have any last thoughts about this movie before we wrap it up? Before we put it in the box and never touch it again?
It existed.
I'm sure that in 10 years I'll be like, hey, remember that X-Evolution movie? And I'll watch it again and be like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Because you just forget everything immediately after watching it, even after you've had it explained to you.
I feel like the more, like, stepping away from the movie, I feel like it won't actually be, I'll forget how little sense it made, actually. I'll remember the things that made sense, and I'll remember, oh yeah, there are X antibodies, what? And like, blah, blah, blah. But like, I won't remember how little sense it all made.
What things made sense?
No, I feel like with a simplified remembering, with a simplified recollection of all the components, it will. And I think generally things made sense, aside from some huge gaps after thinking about it a lot. But huge, huge gaps being like Metal Gurumon coming back alive without having lost his X antibody. And yeah, I'm trying to think of any like other explicit, just like, I don't want to call it a plot hole, because it's not like that's a plot hole. It's more just like a lie. It's like, it's like, we told you something and now here's the opposite of that. Like,
I do feel betrayed.
I think my final thought is that I have to go watch Advent Children to get this out of my mind and remember that 2005 was better. 2005 yeah. was better.
1995 was better.
I don't know about that.
An episode of Beast Wars looks so much better than this did.
But so, like, I really think a lot of that boils down to creative direction. That, like, given whatever kind of, like, technology and budget they had, they could make the Royal Knights and the X-Antibody Digimon look cool. And, like, whoever's idea it was to also incorporate all these other Digimon, like, probably should have just steered away from that, and it should have been a thing just focusing on the Digimon that could be rendered well, and then it could have been something that wasn't so awkward.
That wasn't so that.
Yeah. I was also thinking, this is an idea, Eric, I thought I had before that didn't come up, was that, like, so much focus on War Greymon X and Metal Gurumon X, like, I don't know, it's like, it's this weird dichotomy in the creativity of Digimon as a franchise, that it's always about reinventing itself with the same characters. Like, keep reinventing itself, but also, like, here's Agumon as the main Digimon again. Here's War Greymon X in, like, almost a protagonist role again.
Here's a completely new thing that is not Digimon on, oh, here, Agumon's back for an episode.
At least, like, so that, and if people aren't aware, Atmon recently, I guess it would have been a couple weeks ago as when this is released, but in, like, episode 45 of Atmon had Agumon appear. As like the first explicit reference of Digimon that aren't Atmon, like that are explicitly not Atmon. And yeah, I feel like it actually was like a decent amount of restraint to wait until episode 45 to do that, you know, like, but yeah, so I don't know. It's just interesting that like Digimon is, I mean, it's because it's always reinventing itself in so many ways that it has to kind of resort to, you know, retaining similar aspects in order to have something to connect to people who are, you know, coming from the old version.
Man, imagine if Pokemon didn't even have Pikachu anymore.
Yeah, it's a marketing thing as well.
Yeah. And I guess I was saying, like, oh, wouldn't it be so much more interesting this movie, like, didn't have any, like, old faces. It was entirely new faces. And I guess Doraemon is kind of that. Like, this was the big premiere of Doraemon, right? When I remember, he was also, like, featured in video games and stuff around this time a lot.
He was in the toys, whatever, was it D-Cyber?
That was the manga, right?
It's a manhwa, whatever.
Yeah, Ashley was in, like, a Digital World 4 or something, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, one of the Digimon
the
cover.
The main,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the main Digimon in Digimon World 4, along with, like, Agumon, Gyomon, and...
Yeah.
It's Agumon, Gyomon...
Must be Vimon.
And XV... Oh, yeah, and Vimon.
Yeah, it's gotta be Vimon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, in conclusion, this movie had interesting concepts and themes, like life finding a way... Although it's kind of just an echo of Jurassic Park, so it's not like it's novel. But
wow!
Like the knights dealing with unjust orders, and that also, to us, having seen that reiterated in every incarnation of the Royal Knights, does not feel novel. I mean, we don't have a fantasy draft, so we have no obligation to lock in MVPs. But I'm curious, do we have any? Ashley definitely has Doraemon.
Doraemon.
Do we have to?
That's all I know for certain. And there's no Riley for Andrew to pick.
Damn it.
I also liked War Greymon X, man. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, War Greymon X is pretty good.
I think I'm going to pick War Greymon X.
I'm going to pick Wizardmon.
I'm going to pick Omegamon, I guess.
There was a point where Wizardmon's like staff was shining light, and it was like, oh, they did not render this light source well. Like, it just looked like it had like a couple beams of awkward looking things coming out of it. So my final question to everyone, mm-hmm. out of all the CGI films you've seen, mm-hmm. we've all seen different films. We've all have different impressions of cinema. Of all the CGI films you've seen, was this one?
This was one.
Yes. This was one. Yeah.
This was a movie that I saw.
I'm glad we all agree.
At first I thought, like, it sounded like your audio cut out for a half second. And I was like, did I misinterpret Jeff's question? No. Jeff just asked, is this a CGI?
It's time for recommendation articulation.
Was that necessary?
I was just trying to be Trubimon. It didn't work very well.
It did not work at all.
Recommendation
articulation. I forgot Ashley practiced Trubimon voice silently in the bedroom one day.
It doesn't work. It's not possible.
It's time for
Terminal Judgment!
I mean, he also, Trubimon is very huggy.
He is.
Trubimon would be all about, I mean, like, in, like, the not evil form, I guess. He has big, looks like he'd be a big, good hugger. He has big arms. Would be a good, he would endorse plugging hugs, or hugging plugs, I think.
Goodbye.
From digits!
Ashley, you have 1 minute. Plug something.
So I tried to actually see if I plugged this before, but I haven't. And since it's the only thing I've done recently, I'm going to say Maid-sama because Ashley and I...
I'm not sure it deserves a plug.
Oh. Wow. Cruel. Someday you'll be able to hear Asher and my full thoughts on that, apparently, on a podcast, because we podcast about that yesterday. And I really like Maid-sama, so it deserves a plug from me.
All right.
Misaki is my patroness.
Asher, you ready?
Sure. I will recommend, I don't think I recommended this before. It's a Picross app, Picross Luna. And it's very calming. The pictures are nice and cute. And it's got this like story mode where you got to try to figure out what happened to the princess and the knight and the evil wizard. And it's poorly translated. So you get lines like, I'm going to dunk on the evil wizard that did this to me. I'm just like, what are you talking about?
I'm going to dunk.
So anyway, it's cute. And if you need a way to waste your time, it's great for that.
Cool.
Andrew.
I am going to recommend Kimono Friends because this movie suddenly reminded me of it for some godforsaken reason.
It's because they both are animated really well, right?
Actually, partly, and then suddenly the ex-antibody nonsense reminded me of the, I think it's Stardust or something, that turns regular animals into the friends. But it's fun, somewhat educational about animals. It's got good morals and stuff, and good it's morals. It does.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's good. It's become like one of the most popular things in Japan right now. It's fun, but sure, the animation is not the best thing in the world, but it's still fun.
I am going to recommend, and I can't remember if Andrew's recommended this before. I don't think he has, but we've mentioned it in passing before. An anime called Recreators. It's currently airing now. I think by the time this comes out, it will also hopefully still be airing. Hopefully this won't come out super late. It's on. It's hard to watch because it's on Anime Strike in the US and Amazon in other territories and probably fewer territories than if it was on Crunchyroll. But anyway, if you can get it, it is good. It is about basically anime and things related to anime, like manga, video games, etc. Characters coming to life and duking it out, battling in the real world. and
for reasons.
It is kind of like the intersection of several different genres, plus dealing with ideas about like what entertainment is for, what, why people create things, where does creative fulfillment come from, what is media for. It deals with interesting concepts. Is animated super well, has like Hiroyuki Sawano soundtrack. The what has he done most? Like Attack on Titan, probably most well known.
Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill. Yeah. Yeah. It's really well, really high production value.
Just really looks philosophical.
Yeah. But it hasn't finished yet, so I don't know if it, I'm hesitant about recommending things I haven't finished yet.
Also, it has the best recap episode of all time.
It's true. There's a recap episode which you might be tempted to skip, but it actually is not just reused clips. It, like, I saw an interview recently, they planned it from the very beginning, so it's not like, it actually like has its own storyboard and everything. It's good, you watch it. You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigis.com/021. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, like how much you love this movie and how it's your favorite movie ever, and how there are no faults with it, and it makes perfect sense, and it's the best thing ever written. But you can also go to the episode page to rate the movie, star rating, and you can let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, or the Digimon subreddit thread for this episode. Or by making your own CGI animation with such low production values that it just screams into the ether, you know, just like a couple of blocks smashing each other, and then it'll be such an atrocity what? That we hear it.
What?
Okay, Jeff, I'll do that. Our Agunimon artwork while we've been covering Frontier is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt, and we'll have links in our show notes to check out the rest of their artwork.
Podigis is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, Diab Jomon, the infamous Tokujo on Twitter, new champion Patrimon, Dizzy Dizumi, we'll maybe work on that, they're at Dizzy and Lost on Twitter, Joe Kido, Kailunamon, Michael Pene, and Sam Kuwagamon, who's also on the Moncast, our ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon, and our mega Patrimon, Marcus, who seriously, we're so close, and yet it always seems so far, I don't understand.
we can almost feel the punch hitting our face. If you want to be cool like them, then you can become a Patrimon too. For $1 a month, you can join our private group chat on Slack, where we talk about things like TV, anime, and games. You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scene notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, and ability to choose episode topics for $15 a month.
You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. I'm Drew Softman on Twitter.
I'm Asher Dashery on Tumblr.
I'm Jeff Lee Jeff on Twitter.
And I'm AsherD00 on Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who have developed an ex-antibody because they have the will to live. And don't share the podcast with your friends who discriminate against those with the ex-antibody.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop as your mom.
It's translated one of the voices as Roto Light Nightmon, but I don't remember seeing.
Right, I saw that too, and I was like, "Wait, what? That character not in this movie? What?"
So maybe they were cut out.
What?
But I mean, that's in. It's not like the part of this fan subbing, or whatever. That's in the original cast list thing in Japanese too, and everything.
Oh,
yeah, Crusadermon's supposedly in this movie, but I don't remember ever seeing them.
Crusadermon's like a voice actor is credited with that role, so even more so than just like in the background, like they had a voice and they're credited.
Crusadermon.
This movie is weird.
And apparently, it's the same voice actor as in Frontier.
They're all the same voice actors.
Well, yeah. But I mean, Lord Nightmon, I assume, is in Sabers too, right? And it's not listed here. It's the same. Are they in Sabers? Whatever. We'll find out eventually. Oof. It's fitting, though, that even the credits couldn't be accurate. Oh, what intro music am I going to use? Was there music in this movie?
There was a soundtrack.
There was a soundtrack. It's on Amazon Japan. I found it, but like...
Really?
Was there music?
There wasn't, vocal music? Is that what you're asking?
The soundtrack is literally the most forgettable thing ever in Digimon.
Let's, here's the intro music I'll use. It's just so lavender. Welcome to Podigis, episode 021, Pixar's Finding Doraemon. I was going to say it's there. It is animated.
it's bad, but it's not Food Fight bad.
Food Fight is the recent thing, right?
Yeah. Well, it had production issues that because they kind of lost the movie at one point and had to redo everything from scratch.
Oh, okay. I'm getting confused with the one that was, like, more recent that was, like super gritty, like, cartoons don't have to be for kids. Do you know what I'm talking about? That was about food and it was, like,
Sausage
the food
party?
Had sex.
What?
Sausage no, that's party. Sausage Party.
Sausage, okay. Clearly Sausage Party and Food Fight are totally different. Why would you ever get them confused? This was a Digimon film written by one of the best screenwriters in anime.
Great, it really lived up to that.
Yeah, that's how we should market this episode. A Pottage episode reviewing one of and Digimon yeah. movie written by... Actually, also technically the title of the movie is not Digimon X Evolution, which is what I kept thinking it was. It's Digital Monster X Evolution.
Yeah.
Is there a subtitle?
I don't think so. It's not even Digital Monsters. It's Digital... Like what is even referred to as Digital Monster singular?
The Rumon.
I just don't think it's ever used elsewhere in the franchise. So, anyway, let's go on to DigiFeud.
Who's doing it this time?
DigiFeud.
Oh, I assumed it was Ashley. Or...
Asher and Ashley.
I just said Asher and Ashley together, like Ashley.
Ashley.
Oh my god. Okay, Ashley.
Durban?
Oh, hold on. I don't have the soundboard ready. Sorry.
It's sort of unfair. We have to mimic a buzzer while Jeff has soundboard. Like, Jeff should also have to mimic a buzzer.
Oh, you want me to do that?
No.
Because I could do it.
I don't actually want you to do that.
Is Daruman right or not?
Kisho Ten Ketsu format, which is four. And that's like...
No, I mean four...
No, that's three. I thought it was four as well.
No, four... No, for, I mean, for, Western movies, isn't
it's three.
It 4X?
It's three.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's three, Andrew.
I thought it was four, and I looked it
Listen,
up.
Listen, it's three. This is why all the Hunger Games books are broken into three parts, because
this is why the movie
Collins
was
like,
into,
this is how...
This is why the movie was, there were four movies.
No, Suzanne Collins did nothing wrong.
They had four movies
she's all like,
more money.
Yes, normally there are three arcs of things, so she always writes everything in
right.
three arcs.
So the general three-act structure in that also, to us, having seen that reiterated in every incarnation of the Ronites, does not feel novel.
Wait, why do you keep up bringing Jurassic Park?
Because that's like an explicit line in Jurassic Park. I haven't actually seen Jurassic Park.
What?
That, like, the whole point is that, like, isn't it like they're going to wipe out the dinosaurs and they're like, oh no, life finds a way and that's why they attack and stuff?
No.
I mean, it's definitely a quote from the movie. Jeff Goldblum says it. Jeff Goldblum says it.
Jeff, go watch or at least read Jurassic Park, because that's not what it's about.
What is it actually about?
It's a guy who makes a dinosaur theme park using real dinosaurs and then the power goes out.
I know the concept of dinosaurs. I know the concept of dinosaurs. I was going to say, I know the concept of Jurassic Park. Okay, yeah, this is kind of what I expected. That it's about whether the dinosaurs would breed in the wild. And they're like, no, that wouldn't happen. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's about, you're implying
the
that
power...
a group composed entirely of female animals will breed. Wait, it's about, like, girls getting it on with each other?
No, it's because they have frog DNA.
Anyway, I think it still fits here.
I'm all about my not culturally appropriating things.
Great.
Woo.
Woo.
Wait, was that an impromptu woo that wasn't referencing DuckTales?
Yes.
Oh, damn, I should have said DuckTales.
It's okay.
But,
everybody
but
already
said that last week.
Exactly.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Well, that episode... Oh, yeah, that one will come up before this one, yeah.
I second Andrew's recommendation of DuckTales as well.
And join us next week as we start Data Squad. That's going to sound so awkward if I actually used it.
Data Squad.
Data Squad. Join us next time as we cover Data Squad.
As we punch in our time card for Data Squad.
And get your fists ready, because next time... We're going to Data Squad Town.
Because next time we're fisting? Are
Jeff.
You make a
no,
sexy joke?
Ashley.
No! All right.
XXX antibodies, you guys!